Good morning. It is good to be in your presence this morning. Pastor Bill is on a well-deserved vacation, and he showed up this morning for first service, and now he's out at the house seeing where he's going to live. So to God be the glory. Their family should be on site in Indiana starting tomorrow. Praise God. Yeah, that's a good thing. And I echo what Joe said earlier. We've had a lot of congregants and a lot of staff that have been instrumental in getting everything ready and spruced up and ready for Pastor Bill and his family to move in. So to God be the glory. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So as I was preparing for today, I was studying a little bit, and I was listening to the Word of God, and I was sitting on my back deck in my rainbow chair, hearing the birds. One bird. The quiet of the morning is when I am blessed by God's presence and His peace. So I got up the other morning, and there was a little bird there, and it was just singing its little heart out, waiting for all the other ones to wake up. And then there was a little hummingbird, and he was just a-flapping his little wings, and I couldn't see him because it was still dark, but I could hear him, and I felt his presence. And then the only light that was there was just the computer that was sitting on my lap. And I was just sitting there listening and waiting for God's presence and his peace to see what he had for you and me this morning. The beauty of the morning. When Pastor Denny and I checked the lectionary to see what the scriptures were for today, I kind of had to chuckle because the scripture that was there for us to read today and to use is one that I have wrestled with a good part of my life. So I kind of chuckled at God's sense of humor. Just when you think you've got it all figured out, something comes along and kind of makes you take a look at everything. I smiled and I was thinking about the first time that I really listened to this scripture. I was younger, a lot younger, and I had children of my own. Knowing that sacrificial love that I had for them, I would lay down my life for my children. But that wasn't what God was asking of Abraham in the scripture that we're about to read today. Listen to the word of God. It comes from Genesis 22, 1 to 14. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." So early the next morning, Abraham got up and he loaded his donkey and he took with him two of his servants and his son, Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he and his servants and his son started the journey. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in a distance. And he said to his servants, "Okay, you stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there and we will worship and then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and he placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up, and he said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The firewood and the fire are both here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached a place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there. And he arranged the wood on it. And then he bound his son, Isaac, on the altar, on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand, and he took out the knife to slay his son. But an angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, and he said, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on that boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and he took that ram out of that thicket, and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, be with us this morning as we study God's word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. And may you, Lord God, be glorified. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I remember years ago after Michael and Amanda were born and I was raising them and the scripture was taught, and how unsettled in my spirit I got. The pastor had talked about how God had tested Abraham and how Abraham had passed the test. And his faith was so strong. And I thought, as a young mother, I love God. I trust God. My faith is really strong. But I'm not so sure I would pass that test. So instead of the sermon making me stronger, I started questioning myself. And I was disappointed. And I felt that I was not good enough. I would sacrifice myself for my children. I didn't have any problem with that. But to sacrifice my children and then me remain? I don't think so. So then we fast forward when my first husband, Daniel, died of a massive heart attack. And I heard the story again. And so then I thought, okay, well, God, what are you trying to tell me through this scripture? Did you need to take Daniel for me to recognize and realize that you indeed are first in my life? No, I really don't think that that was the answer either. Once again, agonizing over this same scripture every time it's preached. But today I see the scripture in a different light. Let's explore it together. Yes, God was testing Abraham's faith. There's no doubt about that. But maybe not quite the way that I originally was thinking. The title of my sermon today is Sacrificial Love. And here's why. The scripture starts out with God calling, "Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. He knew God's voice. He had talked to God lots of times over his lifetime. God had promised him, of course, a son. And in his very old age, he provided for him. So Abraham was waiting to see what was he going to ask him this time, or what was he going to tell him this time. Couldn't get much better than that. He has his son. Without hesitation, God says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on a mountain which I will show you. And without hesitation, Abraham gathers up all of his stuff, puts it on the donkey, and away they go. 3 days. It took them 3 days to go from where they were to where God was calling them to go. When they got to that place, Abraham looks at his servants and he says to his servants, okay, now you stay there, and I'm going to take my son, and we're going to go over here, and we're going to pray, and then we'll come back. And then, all of a sudden, Isaac says to his dad, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And again, without hesitation, Abraham says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Now, I can't even fathom what both Isaac and Abraham were thinking at that point. As they were climbing that mountain, Abraham, knowing that when he got to the top of that mountain, he had to build the fire, he had to sacrifice his son. And Isaac? Isaac was in his 20s at that time, 21, I believe. And he was recognizing exactly what was going to happen. Doesn't say there was much conversation. Does the story remind you of any other stories in the Bible? The scriptures tell us that God sent his son, his one and only son, into the world as a living sacrifice for you and for me. He rode into town on a donkey. He knew what his father in heaven was telling him to do, and he too stepped out in faith, taking with him his disciples into the garden, and then asking them to wait and pray while he goes over to where God was calling him to be. Asking his father if he had to go through with it, but not backing away from the challenge. Carrying on his back the wooden cross to where he would be crucified. But there is one huge difference. As Abraham lay his son on the altar, God intervened. He did not want the boy to be slain. He wanted Abraham to sacrifice his son in his heart, allowing Abraham to recognize with everything that he had gone through in his life that he trusted God and there was nothing that would separate this sacrificial love. How many times in your life have you felt like you were climbing a mountain? Your burdens were overpowering. It seemed like there was absolutely no way out. If we're honest, sometimes our willingness to obey depends on whether we think the cost outweighs the benefit. We will usually refuse to follow God's direction when we think that we have to give up. What we have to give up is greater than what we will gain. As a result, we could miss God's blessing. We could miss the experiences that he has for us, his judgment, and we might just break that intimacy that allows our spiritual ears to hear what he has to say for us in the future. In life, there are many trials and tribulations we are faced with, and we have choices on how to overcome them. Sometimes we have to be refined through the fire to become all that God wants us to be. I think of my stepchildren. They're going through the fire right now with a disease that will someday take their life here on earth. But they have the joy of the Lord in their heart. And they bring that joy to each and every person that comes towards them. Yesterday, no, Friday, Vince and I went to see the kids. They're a couple hours away. And as we got there, we heard Tina. We were walking down the hall, and we heard her say, "Hi, Dad! Hi, Dad!" And she didn't know that we were coming that day. And we're looking all over for her. She and Vin are both in a wheelchair now. They can't walk. But we heard this, "Hi, Dad." We're looking. We can't find him. We look down in the commons area, and I see Vin sleeping there, but I still hear Tina's voice. We look in her room. She's not in her bed. She's not in her wheelchair. I said to my husband, "Where is she?" "I don't know." We walk into the room, and there she's sitting in the middle of the floor. She'd gotten out of her bed, tried to go to the bathroom by herself, which she's not supposed to do. Sitting in the middle of the floor, big smile on her face. "Hi, Dad." We said, "How did you know that we were here?" And she said, I heard Lily's chain jingling. Joy in her heart. She and Vin spread that joy all over that place. The joy of the Lord is upon them in the midst of their circumstances. They could choose to be frustrated. We went to go to the picnic, and as we're going out to the picnic, she says to her dad, her dad says, "What do you think we'll be eating for lunch?" And she goes, "Well, I think you'll be having macaroni salad, but we don't get people food." And we looked at her, and they have to have food that's thickened and it doesn't look like people food. Not once did they complain. They gobbled that down, said it was so good. God, working through them. In the midst of their circumstances, the joy of the Lord is upon them. They bring so much joy. Recognize with me that God will not bring you to it if he doesn't intend to bring you through it. You see, the very same thing that God was asking Abraham to do, to sacrifice his one and only son, God was willing to do that himself. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." In Romans 8:37, it says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus the Lord." And Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." Those scriptures give me comfort. I know no matter what comes against me, God will make a way where I think there is no way. But it is a choice. It's a choice that I make to follow him even when I can't see the answers. He provided a way out for Abraham, and he provided a way out for you and for me, by supplying that sacrificial love, sending his one and only son to die for you and for me. In a few minutes, we'll have an opportunity to come to the table to taste and see that gift of salvation. So the question is, do you know this Jesus? This one that loves you so much that he was willing to die so that we might have the promise of eternal life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you and we thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to be in this place. We thank you for the opportunity to recognize that each and every choice that we make in life. They're all decisions, Lord God. And it is only by the Word of God that we can make the choices that are pleasing in your sight. God, I pray for each and every one that is here this day. I pray that they would know you intimately, that they would receive your sacrificial love, they would feel your presence and your peace in their lives, and more than that, Lord God, in the circumstances that they are in, recognizing that there is nothing that keeps them separated from you. You, Lord God, have covered us with your blood. Anything that we have done, you have forgiven us, and you will make us white as snow. Lord God, we come to the foot of the cross now, laying down our burdens and our cares, our concerns, and yes, Lord God, our sins. Laying them at the foot of the cross, knowing that you suffered and you died to take away that sin. Lord God, we silently lift up anything that might be separating us from you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for encouraging us and strengthening us. And thank you, Lord God, for the sacrifice that you made. Your Son on the cross for me and for each one of you here. We praise you, Lord God, and we thank you, and we pray together the prayer that you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so now we come to the table. Jesus met with his friends the night that he was arrested. He sat with them at table. And after supper, he took the bread and he gave thanks to God. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And the same night, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for each and every one of you for the forgiveness of your sins. As often as you drink the cup and eat the bread, do it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon this bread and this cup so that you might become the body and the blood that is broken and shed for us. For the forgiveness of our sins. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will my stewards please come forward? On the night that he was with his disciples and he broke the bread, he said, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you." We will have four stations two at the front, two at the back, and a gluten-free here in the front and the center. All are welcome to the table. This is God's table.